right, good morning. We want to say good morning to those online, to those in the warehouse, as well as those in the chapel. It's good to be here. My name is Tim Caldwell. I'm getting to live out a dream in getting to pastor and partner with the people in Midtown at our Midtown campus, and I love it. So I'm glad to be here today with you guys. We've been talking about a series of hospitality for about 4 weeks now. And so there was a pastor I read about, and he got really excited about hospitality, maybe was reading the same books that we were, and so he was just going to start upping his game. And so how he did that is he was going to not only send an email, a phone call, he was actually going to show up at people's houses and visit them. And his wife got on board. She was going to make her homemade, like, secret recipes, chocolate chip cookies. And so he was just upping this game, and it was good because it was kind of contagious in other people and wanting to show hospitality. But he would go up, and usually it was well-received, but this one particular home he went to, knocked on the door, and he couldn't see in but because the curtains, but it was obviously somebody was there rumbling around, and he wasn't a salesman, so he's just still knocking, like, somebody's there, they don't want him to answer. And so he does what any good pastor would do, right? He leaves the cookies, right? And he puts his card in, but before he's going to leave with his card, he writes on the back, Revelation 3:20, and sticks it in the door. I don't know if you know that verse. It's Jesus' words. It says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone would hear my voice and let me in, I'll come in and eat with him." And so he didn't pay any attention, showed some hospitality, and he went on until the next Sunday when he sees the offering plate come in, and there is his business card. And he looks at the back, and it says Revelation 3:20, and below it, it says Genesis 3:10. A little less familiar verse, but as he read it, it made perfect sense. It's the words of Adam. He says, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." Hospitality fails, right? Oh, man. Have you ever failed in hospitality? I remember my wife and I last year, we have this great little cul-de-sac that we live on, lots of neighbors, and we're on the other street walking, and we meet some new people in town. We're like, "Oh, like, it's utopia over here. Y'all need to come here and hang out." And they did, and it was awesome. But they liked everybody else on the cul-de-sac more than us, right? I mean, they connected with every single else, and that's just a little bit of a joke. But going, how many times have we hosted and it became more about us? Or it didn't go the way we had it in our mind? But hospitality, it's not really about you, is it? It's about the person you're putting it on. And so I don't know what kind of fails that you would fear or you've had. You invite a family over and have pizza for them to say, "We're gluten-free." Maybe it is you have just a really awkward evening and they don't ever come back, right? What if they never invite you back? What if, like all these things, what if your kids do horrible? What if the people aren't like you and they teach your kids a whole new vocabulary, right, by their dinner talk? I don't know, but there's lots of ways that these things can fail and they keep us from hospitality. But I would say this, sometimes those things that may keep us from hospitality may make us more hospitable. You see, there's some of you in this room and you go, "Well, I don't really do the hospitality thing because my house isn't really clean or it's not as nice, not a great cook or whatever else like that." And I would just say this, I think people today, they're looking for, not for perfection, they're looking for connection. So if you want to put out perfection and be the host of the year, the hostess of the year, then great, but that's not really what people are looking for. People spend tons of times on their computer or on their phones, right, looking to connect and like and hoping that, and that may be a little bit of a connection, but it's not a heart and soul connection. Hospitality needs to happen not because people are looking for perfection, but they're looking for what? Connection. That's right. So let's not let any hospitality woes or failures or fear of that, because maybe sometimes those things make us all the more hospitable because we're real. That's what I want to challenge you here to today. So today what we want to do is we want to talk about one little principle of hospitality, and then we're going to try to make some space in our lives so that we can actually do what we've been talking about. So if you will, turn in your Bibles to Mark's a great book, but turn to Acts chapter 4, and we are going to look at this attitude that was just contagious in the church. They had just added to the church numbers of those who've gotten baptized by like 3,000, and so they're growing rapidly. They're no longer a small group, but there's some things that are happening there that we can apply today in 2018. Wherever you live, whatever your age, And I would like us to embrace this. So if you would, if you're physically able, would you stand with us, whether you are in the chapel or the warehouse, sitting at home or here in the worship center? I'm going to read Acts 4. We'll start in 32. It says, "Now the full number of those who had believed were of one heart and soul. And no one said that anything that belonged to him was his own. And they had everything in common. And with great power, the apostles were given the testimony to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and with great grace was upon them all. Listen to this. There was no needy person among them. For as many as were owners of lands or houses, they sold them and brought their proceeds of what was sold, and they laid it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to each as any had need. And Joseph, one of the disciples called Barnabas, which means the son of encouragement, a Levite, native of Cyprus, sold a field and it belonged and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." Let's pray. God, we pray that today you would make us a hospitable people. The hospitable, inviting spirit that lives in you, I pray that it would also live in us. And I pray that as we live that out in generosity and in hospitality, we pray ultimately that they would see you. So God, I pray that you would change the posture of our hearts, that you may even make space in our schedule and our calendars, and you would do more than we could ask or imagine. So God, give us ears to hear today. We want to be like you. It's in Jesus' name we pray, amen. You guys can be seated. If I can make a quick confession, this whole section right here, I read it to my kids. This was like maybe 5 or 6 years ago. We were just trying to do a couple verses in Acts, and there was a couple times we'd just read something, and it made great discussion before we went off to school. This particular one was not one of those mornings. We read about how people sold. I was kind of encouraged that people would like sell a whole field or sell what they had to give to the people who are in need, and I read it, and kids kind of look at me like, "And?" And I think one of my daughters was like, "You want me to sell everything I have, you know?" And then my son, I think he was the one, he's like, "Dad, that doesn't even make sense. I mean, like, if you have a field, right, and you sell it to give to people who are in need, well, then they have the field, and now you're in need because you don't have a field. I mean, it doesn't make sense." And so if you've ever thought, man, there's a fear of reading the Bible and getting asked a question that you don't know or looking dumb, well, that just happened, right? I wasn't really encouraged. So this has not been like the life verse that we put above the mantle in the Caldwell house. But the more that I've studied it, there's things in here that go on, these need to live in us. The very first thing, just observation, it says that those who believed were of one heart and soul. That's what I'm talking about. When we talk about that people aren't looking for perfection, but they are looking for connection. They're wanting to be known, and I think that all of us deeply want to be pursued. We want to be known. We want to be connected with. We just don't know always how to do that or what steps to take towards that. So the believers here, they had it, they initiated it, and they even invited others into it, which made it so contagious, being one of heart and soul. But the second thing, observation-wise, I just want to camp out on is when it says that no one said that anything that belonged to him was his own. So it belongs to them, but it wasn't their own. The New Living Translation, it's actually up on your bulletin, and it says, they felt like what they owned was not their own. They felt like what they owned was not their own, which is really the heart of hospitality. That which rightfully belongs to you, it's not just for you. So I learned this in college. Went to OBU. We drove up to Hot Springs for church, and we went to the morning service and the night service. So we had a couple. They actually let us, like a bunch of college students, stay in their house. Joe and Susan Wilson. If you've ever watched late night TV, he's Wilson Auctioneers. You'll hear a "sold it, sold it, sold it." You may remember it now. Joe Wilson, we were in his home, right? I didn't know he was the auctioneer or anything else like that. But one of the things when we first got there one time, he just stopped and goes, "Hey, I just need to tell you guys something. This isn't our house." Like, is it foreclosed? Is it? He goes, "It's the Lord's." He goes, "So anytime you guys want to come and go, it's not our house." He goes, "That refrigerator over there doesn't belong to us." As a starving college student, I was like, championship, right? He just said, "Listen, all of this stuff, it may be in my name, it doesn't belong to just me." And you know what? I never felt burdened.
All right, I never felt like I was imposing or anything else. They just basically said, this is ours to share. This is not really even ours. And that same attitude was the same attitude that they had. And if it was selling a field or if it was opening up a home or anything else, that's how these people were operating, and it was contagious. And so let me just ask you a question. What would it look like if that which we own was not our own? And just if you're a believer in Jesus, Genesis 24:1 already says the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, right? Romans 10:9, we confess him as Lord. It's all his anyways, right? But what would that look like just if our mentality of all that we own was not our own? I heard about a guy who, not real revolutionary, but he took his grill from the back of his house where his deck is at to his front yard. Now, I know we live in Little Rock, and depending on where you live, that grill in your front yard may show up at a pawn shop the next day, right? It may not stay there. This guy's attitude was just, it's not my grill. So he would start grilling in the very front yard, and people started wondering. People started smelling something good, right? And they started coming down, and there was always room for anybody else to put any of their meat on the grill, or they could just take some of his. And you know what? It became this thing with more and more lawn chairs that just brought this whole street together. That's one way. A friend of mine here, he read something like that. He put his dining room table on his front porch. And he told me, he's like, Tim, it looks a little like it's not supposed to be there, right? It's not like in front of a Southern Living or anything else like that. But he goes, we just wanted to say, it's not our table, it's not our food, and it's anybody else on our street is welcome. Just that same idea of hospitality. People who have a Christ room just dedicated for if anybody stopping by, if anybody wants to stay, that attitude that lives in so many, and even those of you who would open your home to foster care or adoption or an international student, this home that belongs to you, but it's not your own. You would invite people to even change the family dynamic because it's not yours, it's not your family, it's not your family dynamic, it's not your home, it's yours to share. What would it look like for you if all that which you owned was not your own? Pastor from San Antonio was bragging on one of his church members, and so this lady is driving home from the store, and ladies, you would know this, but if you're at the store and you get stuff like ice cream and other cold stuff, you're not just going to go for the afternoon and just go hang around town, right? You're going to get from point A to point B so that your groceries get to the right place, and whether you click listed or picked it up or shopped for it, whatever it is, she's driving there in San Antonio. It's about 100 degrees, and there before she exits, she notices a car, and something kind of pricks her heart. She looks over as she's passing it, and she sees, it looks like what is a mom and two or three children. And so she just immediately does one of those U-turns and comes back around and goes up to this lady and says, hey, ma'am, can I help you? She goes, well, I ran out of gas, and somebody told me about an hour ago that they were going to get me some, and I don't think they're coming back. Well, it's 100 degrees in San Antonio, and she has small children in the back. And she goes, well, she calls her husband at this point, the person who stopped. She goes, it'll be 20 or 30 minutes. But she starts thinking. She goes, hey. She goes, why don't you guys step in my car? We have air conditioning. We actually have a movie player for the back for the kids. And I actually have all sorts of snacks and groceries, right, already in the back because I haven't made it home. And so they end up for the 30 minutes before this girl's husband comes and brings them. And this video that comes a little bit viral, this little picture that they posted on Facebook, right, is these kids having the time of their life, right, watching a movie in the back of this sweet mobile, right, with all the snacks that they could have ever wanted, right? Now she never told that story. But actually, that family showed up at her church the next week, this church of like 15,000 people. And they're like, hey, who's the lady that came and stopped? They didn't know who it was. But listen, one lady who said, my safety's not my own, my car's not my own, my groceries are not my own, and my time is not my own. You starting to get the picture? That's what the people in Acts 4 were like. Didn't matter if it belonged to them, it was not their own. And that mindset just began permeating and made Christianity very contagious. If I could just say one more thing, just we have a lot of campuses here. We have Benton, we have Cabot, we have Midtown, West Little Rock, and Espanol. If you were to go out to our Cabot campus and come in from one of the side entrances where most of the people park, there's a guy there named Wade. And Wade, I don't hug a ton of guys like at church. I mean, there's some people who are like real touchy-feely, and I may give a little, but Wade is just one of those guys I feel like I've known him my whole life. He makes me Like, he just has the warmest, most hospitable spirit that I know. And so him and his two daughters, they greet everybody. And so when I started hearing about their story, it made me think of this, because Wade was divorced, he was single, and this couple, this actually a bunch of married couples in a D group, which we call them here at Fellowship, they invited him. They said, hey, you need to come to our group, right? He's going to be the only single guy, and he wasn't really interested in church. And they're like, no. And he kind of gave them the Heisman, but they said, listen, you need to come experience this. And he finally came, and he found community. And not only did he find community, he found a relationship with Jesus, and he got baptized. And his daughters found the same thing, all because of a group that was very hospitable. It said, man, this group, this thing we have going on here, but it's not our group, and it's worth sharing. I don't know where that lands with you guys. I'm not asking you to go sell everything you have, give away all your time. I'm just saying that maybe, like them, we could just take what we have and what we own and put it at the Lord's feet to be able to use however he wants to use it, because that which we own is not our own. Everybody say, what I own, it's not my own. Okay. So, what do you own? In your handout there, there's only a few blanks, and there's lots of room to just write down some practical things, but the very first one is this, is what do you have to offer? What do you have to offer, or what do you own that is not your own? And practically speaking, I'll just mention a couple of those, but one of those is a home. And most of you in this place, you either have a home, or an apartment, or a trailer, or a basement, or maybe you don't have any of it. And you can be like Jesus and Zacchaeus, and you can just invite yourself over to somebody else's house, right? Even if you're a teenager, it may not be your space, but you have a home. So if you have one of those, and you have a table, and you can have a meal, and you can invite somebody over, one of the easiest ways of hospitality is simply having people over, valuing them, asking questions about them, what makes them tick, what's winning in their life, what's hard, what's their ambitions. And as you get to know them, then a lot of times a whole lot of not ordinary but magical things happen in just getting to know somebody at a soul level. And some of you in this room, you're kind of going, okay, Tim, why do you keep harping on food and a table and this whole series? But I just want you to know, if you think of Jesus' way, Jesus to the masses, he preached, right? He preached to those people, but to anybody, or the one-on-one or the outsider, his method is one of two things. He either would stop and give them personal attention and heal them of that which I'm lacking power in, or he would have a meal with them. The Savior of the world, the one who's in charge of running it all, would stop over and over and over and over and over and over to meet and to eat and to spend time with. And there were people who were restored. They celebrated with others. He had a Last Supper with his friends. He had those who would never, most people would never be caught dead with, and he would have a meal with them. That's why we're talking about this. And so if we're talking about a meal, I just wanted to tell you, some of you maybe have some reservations with that. Some of you say, I don't think I can cook. And maybe you're right. that you have a cell phone. You can call US Pizza, right? Marco's, Domino's. You can call and you can order that, right? You can downgrade it to a dessert. It's hard to mess up dessert, right? But it's not about you and all that you can do. It's about them, and it's about hosting them. Maybe it is that that you're an extrovert. That's the case. The more the merrier. Invite them all. We had one person was telling me that he opened up to, really, they have like a whole cul-de-sac street. They invited everybody for some soups, and everybody came. But he said, soup doesn't cost much, and then the next time people are going to start doing this again, they're going to bring their own stuff. But listen, that's great. If you're an introvert, you need your me time, don't invite the street, right? Invite one couple, one person who's single, one person who is a student, one person who you know. Like you don't. There's nothing magical about this. And look, if you were to come to my home, the reason I put some of these out is my kids, praise Jesus, my kids do the dishes at our house. They have learned responsibility. And one day they're going to give that gift to their children, right, of doing dishes and all that other stuff, but they take care of it. So when we're going to have people over, they're big fans of paper plates, right? Less dishes. If you are trying to save the environment, we are a little slower at that. But it's pretty simple. We don't even always have the finest beverages. We just want people over. And so for you guys, if you have a table and you have a meal, that's one thing that you can offer, for sure. So I would just say this. Also, if you're back to the whole extrovert thing, I was going to say we want to come alongside you, maybe a little bit bigger than just a meal for those who want to make a broader impact. Our missions department, they had this idea of going, what if we bought like enough stuff so that people could have a block party? So like, and they went all out. They actually got like a snow cone machine, popcorn machine, ice cream carrier, this big screen. I mean, like, it's amazing. Like, I'm going to show you a video in just a moment. But they're like, hey, since most people can't have that, you know what? We just want that to be able to be checked out to anybody so that they can reach out to their neighborhood. So you may not have known you had this at your disposal, but we'll show you a little video. We had a block party just a couple months ago, and you can see what this is all about. That you didn't even know you had at your disposal. And they wanted me to tell you, you'll get an email tomorrow with some of the details about it, but it's not for your kid's birthday party, although that would be really cool. It's not for your D group, unless your D group wants to bless the entire neighborhood or street. So just know that that's one of the things that you have to offer, a home, a meal, a table, an inviting spirit, block parties, or anything else. The second thing is this, who do you have to offer to? Everybody say who? Yeah, let's think about who. Jesus over and over says, love your neighbor as yourself. It's the second commandment, right? And one time he talks about the Good Samaritan, so that'd be anybody, anywhere who has a need that you come in contact with. But what if sometimes he was just talking about your neighbor? Like the person that lives on the left or the right or in front of you or behind you, just really your neighbor. An organization, The Art of Neighboring, they actually surveyed over 10,000 people and started figuring out how many people knew their neighbors. And so here's what they did. They made this little chart. You can do this at home. But they would basically, A would be you'd write the person's name, you know, your neighbors all around you, neighbors. And then B would just be one thing about them, like where they work, where they go to school. And then C would be like one thing about them, like ambition, goal, fear, just something that you couldn't like get on social media, right? So you could find all that out maybe in a 10-minute conversation. But here's what they found out. A, for people who knew their eight neighbors or their eight people in their apartment complex, about 10% of the people they surveyed knew those eight names. About 3% knew one fact about those people, and less than 1% knew anything of meaning about those people. So as you look at that and you were to start filling that out and there was a lot of empty blanks, then feel guilt and shame. I'm just kidding. I would be there with you. But a great place to start. People who want to be known, they're not known. Right? And so whether that's your classmates and the people that you sit around you, whether that's your workplace and the people in the cubes around you, to not only name and, hey, how you doing, get to know them and get to know some things about them and start moving in. So really with that, of just getting to know those people who are around you, I can guarantee if you were to ask, Lord, who is my neighbor, he would begin to show you in some real practical ways in filling that thing out. Let me just ask for the people in this room, when we think about that, people who are in need, I guess you could go to a street corner in Little Rock and somebody may say need food or need work or need something, you could give that, but what about all the people that you're around that maybe look like they have it all together? Do they have needs? I mean, if you think of your own life and just even this last year, maybe whether it be struggling with loneliness or anxiety or stress, maybe some financial struggles, problems with kids, problems with singleness, problems in marriage, all those things that we struggle with, but we struggle, if we're members here at Fellowship, with our Creator, which is quite comforting. And we are able to struggle with a community. Now, your neighbors, they have the same struggles as you do. So how do they cope without this connection here in their struggles and without any community? Like I said at the beginning, people aren't looking for perfection, but they're dying for connection. And if you just start asking, Lord, open the eyes of those around me, and you start getting to know them, it won't be long before you start tripping on their needs and all the people that you need to offer to. So what do we have to offer? Then who do we offer to? Then the third thing, maybe the most practical way we could do this, is when do we have to offer? When? I'll just say this. I know that time is a precious commodity. All right, so for us to give that up or to figure out where that's going to happen is a pretty big deal, pretty big offering. So I had this idea for making space. I just thought, what if we were to all take out our phone and pass it to the person in front of you? And they could go to your calendar and they could pick a day a week and just start delete, 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 delete. Because it's not their meeting, it's not their friends, it's not their engagement, it's not their anything. So they don't even, like, they don't even have any personal attachment. They will clear it off for you. But remember point one today? It's not really our meeting. It's not really our friends. It's not really our stuff. Maybe that would be the easiest way to do those things, is just making space. But as opposed to passing your phone to somebody else and letting them make space, because you may get fired for that, let me just give you two ideas. Number one is just put it on the calendar. If you were to leave this place today and just put at least one time in the next 2 weeks or one time in the next month on the calendar that you were going to set out an evening that you could have some folks over or a breakfast or whatever that looks like, and just put it on there. My wife and I, we were invited, this has been a little while back, but some people called and said, hey, would you want to come over for dinner in 15 minutes? And they lived across town. We're like, is this like an important, like serious, are we in trouble? And they're like, no, actually, we had some other couple who was going to come and they backed out last minute, so we have the food if you want to come. I mean, wouldn't you feel valued at that, right? The people that we really wanted to come, yeah, they backed out on us, so we have this food, so if you want to join us. But you can look at it that way. We actually had a feast that night. It was awesome. But what I love about them is they already had the day marked out. They already had the event marked out. They just needed to find some people to come join in. So you don't have to tell people they were the third ask or the fourth ask or anything else. But if you make space for it, then it's there. If we say we value hospitality and we look on our calendar and there's no place for it, then it's not really a value of ours. And so go ahead and put it on the calendar. A couple, as I've been asking people on how they do that here, we have one of our couples here. They just have Tuesday nights. And Tuesday nights, every time, they invite a couple of couples that they're sharing life with. And their intent and goal was, is that has become quite sweet community. So now anybody's available to invite other people who aren't a part of their community. So they've invited barbers, people that are baristas, and whoever else, most of which are not believers. But they're saying, this community that we're in, it's worth sharing. And they just put it on the calendar. So whether that's a Taco Tuesday night, for some of you, a This Is Us Tuesday night, right? Ladies, I know you love that. Guys, don't admit it, because we'll never measure up to Jack, right? But if you were to invite people over on a Tuesday night, right? I mean, how many issues of life would you be able to talk about after that show if you're into that? I'm just saying, if you just put it on the calendar, right? And whether you're an introvert and it's just one person at a time, or you're an extrovert and the more the merrier, I'm just saying, put it on your calendar. Put it on your calendar. But the second thing is this, I'm going to ask you, is to repurpose what you already do. Depending on your eating habits, if you're in intermittent fasting or biblical fasting, if you don't do any of that, you eat 21 meals a week, right? And if you like Wendy's or Taco Bell, they introduce something called fourth meal. That would actually move that number up a good bit, okay? So 21 times you already stopped to eat. Why don't you repurpose one of those meals to be with somebody else? That's it. We're not asking you to do 10 new things, but just repurpose that if there's a game of the week. So some of you in here, you already know that you would watch a game every week. If you were to ask Brandon, he's going to watch a Steelers game every week, right? That's, I mean, it's DVR'd. It's going to happen. If you ask Mark, he's going to watch a Chargers game and a Razorback game, right? If you're going to watch me, I'm going to watch a Cowboys game. Ben Parkinson, we get to watch him every once in a while. We cheer for the Cowboys, even if they don't win. And but if we're already doing that, why wouldn't we just repurpose that and invite somebody over? Now, a game that it's not quite like the conversation that you would have here, but it's a start. You're just repurposing what you're already doing. My wife, she enjoys reading. She enjoys reading enough that sometimes she'll go like two or three chapters in this book and somebody will have another book and she'll start reading that one and start reading this one. But one of the things, she always will read one book or two in the summer, because here's what she does. She picks out a book she likes to read and she'll invite a bunch of ladies over, some from her community, some from just her work, some who don't know anything about the Lord. And there'll be one night a week in the summer times. She's already going to read. She just invites others to be a part of it. And you know what? The kids, myself, we know it's time to just like go to bed because they're going to be up late laughing and cutting up and crying and sharing life. Just repurposing that which you're already doing. I don't know with what that would be for you. Let me just finish with something here. We had somebody listening to this series, and they sent something in this last week. But basically, this is a mom, and her kids are going off to school. And so right before all that happened, she sent her kids with a bunch of flyers to their neighborhood, and basically saying there's like a ladies' brunch or tea or something like that, and to get together, and ended up having about 25 people show up. And actually, it was such a great time that the people started going, hey, can we do this again? And so now it's going to be on the calendar for every month to do tea or whatever ladies do, not watch football. They're just going to get together. And the reason why I want to say that is, listen, we've given you ideas now for like 4 weeks about being hospitable. And sometimes it's just really simple, small stuff. That when we just give that offering and say, Lord, these are things that I own that are not my own. And to see what the Lord does with those things, with our homes, with our relationships, with our time. Man, the things that he does in that, it's incredible. So if I can challenge you anything, that which you own, it's not your own. I want you to think through what you have to offer, who you have to offer it to, and when. If you would answer those things, here's how we're going to finish. We would usually, at this point, I would close in prayer, and we would sing a song. But we're not asking you to go to your neighbors and to sing for them, unless that's your kind of a thing. What we're asking you to do is to step past the awkwardness and to go across the street or to go across the cubicle or whatever else or across the cafeteria and just to simply say, get time with people and to be hospitable to people. And so in that, what we're going to do is we're going to let you guys practice for about 5 minutes. And so for any venue that we're having here, we're going to give you 5 minutes, and here's what I want you to do. You're going to have some people to your left and your right, and if you're in some places in this room, you may have to get up and move, but we're going to give you 5 minutes, and then I'll give you some instructions afterwards. But in 5 minutes, you're going to get to know the person next to you. You're just going to find out a couple things about them, tell them a couple things about you, and one thing that stuck out to you from today. All right, that's it. All right, and if you may have been sitting with them for quite a while, I mean, like, you've been in the same spot for, like, years, right, and you've never said hello, well, today is the day, right? So we have some music, like some Starbucks stuff. 5 minutes, I'll close us with something else. Meet your neighbor. One thing that stuck out to you today. Thank you. All right, if you can wrap up your conversations, go ahead and take a seat in whatever venue you are in. Go ahead and take a seat. We have one more thing for you. Yes. All right, we'll give you some time to talk afterwards. Yes. Thank you for staying with us in the chapel and the warehouse. Our folks are very chatty. Some of you are going to leave and be like, that was the best part of the morning. Not the sermon, not the worship. I got to talk and hang out with people. But think about it. In 5 minutes, you just scratch the surface. But maybe you learn more about somebody who is next to you than you've ever known yet. It doesn't take long. So let me just give you this blessing in my closing. May what we own not be our own. May there be no needy people amongst us or on our streets or at our businesses or at our schools. And may we be hospitable like our Father so that others would see him and know his hospitable spirit. Thank you.